Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at Alex and Drew Rank the MCU, Spider-Man Homecoming Edition, plus a little bit of DCU drama. Let's go. I guess it's not all drama. It leads to some drama, but we do have some spicy DCU news to talk about. I appreciate your popping sound effects.
You're welcome.
We are very excited for this episode of the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast.
Yes,
this is. We got to watch a really good movie last night.
Spider-Man. So I need to find that. Okay. I'm going to find my list of my before we started rewatching list because where is it? Oh, that's what I was thinking. Okay. My before we started watching the rewatch, I had Endgame first, Infinity War second, Far From Home third, and Homecoming fourth.
Yeah.
And then Loki, WandaVision, Ragnarok, Civil War, Guardians of the Galaxy 1, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, blah, 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 blah. So, and that was because that was before No Way Home was out.
Right.
So.
Just like what we thought.
The Spider-Man movies have always been at the top of my list.
They're very strong.
They're just fun. And Tom Holland does a great job.
They're just extremely well done. Right?
Yeah.
I don't have a weak point. Mm-hmm. For this, slight spoilers when we get into our stories or our scores, I spent more time asking, like, how could this have technically been a little bit better than, oh, this was bad or this didn't work. And that's just kind of where we're finding ourselves, especially in this slugfest of phase three.
So, I mean, I went in expecting it to be super awesome, which may have led to me being a little bit harsher on it because I was like, it was great. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's still like if in my list of what would I want to watch?
Yeah.
It's still right there up there near the, at the top, right? You know, and if you were to like really make me pick one based off of what we've watched so far, it would be hard for me to pick. Would I rather watch this one or Guardians 1?
Right.
Just because I love both of them so much.
But
I also, it's like if you love something and you're making a rubric from it or you're filling it out, like I felt like I was harder on it because I was like, I want this to earn its spot.
Somebody's delivering a package to me right now that I did not order.
Nice. Maybe it's for me.
Yeah.
Did somebody send us a two-man gift?
I hope so.
You want me to pause real quick?
Yeah, we'll be right back. That's my bad. It was for me. It was a work package that was sent to me. Sorry for that interruption, y'all.
So yeah, I think I was just saying I was maybe a little bit harsher on this. Also knowing what we're going to get from the next two Spider-Man movies.
Yes.
So there are certain things actually looking at this, like, I don't know, like this may have still beat out because we actually rated No Way Home kind of as a
yeah. So anytime we've been saying as a there's a word
words,
for it.
Words are hard.
I keep wanting to say buffer, and that is not even close.
We rated that knowing that it was going to be on the upper
kind of like a reference point.
Yeah, a high water mark.
Yeah,
and there were certain things like I don't know. I can't even remember what I did, but like coloring. Mm-hmm. I think this one ended up higher than the No Way Home, just because I don't know why there was, I felt like this had more carefree coloring to me.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, it's just good, you know? Uh-huh. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. There are certain ways that this may not end as high as it should have for me, just because I was making it earn it.
Yeah. It, I guess we can jump into this first and do some DCU talk later.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very strong. So the way the MCU handled the introduction of Spider-Man, in my opinion, I'm not sure how they would have done it better.
It was awesome.
Introducing him in Civil War and not going through to do the Uncle Ben thing that we've seen a million times already.
We don't need to. I mean, granted, I have always kind of been curious, like, is there anything that's a little different?
Right.
I don't know if they'll ever go back and give that to us, but I didn't miss it.
Right. And well, the thing is, we can learn that later.
Yeah. And we did have a little moment with Ned.
Sure.
Like, wait, so you were bit by a spider. Can I get bit by the spider? Right. I bet it hurt. And he's like, the spider's dead, Ned. You
right.
know, like, yeah. So we did have a little bit
quick,
of that.
But. Like things. And, you know, they even talked about it when Tony in Civil War is sitting on Peter's bed with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, now I can do these things. And like, mm-hmm. he's mm-hmm. talking about a general timeline if it's been within the last year. That
general timeline if it's been within a year.
Yeah. But this movie is very strong. And
yeah.
and like Drew said, the Spidey films rank near the top for me if I'm yeah. just doing like gut ranking. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They are fantastic. The casting's good. The villains are good. The plot and the yeah. story as far as like
Michael Keaton,
how grounded they are.
Nailed it.
Dude, Michael Keaton Vulture is yeah. a banger. It's awesome.
Just like when he has those moments where he's like, he dips into that low voice and I'm just yes. like, oh God, I'm scared.
But dude, let's just start talking. That's one of my favorite things about this. The cleverness of, okay, how are we going to make the Vulture mm-hmm. something in the MCU, right? So even in this film, when we've had the Guardians and some other things, we still haven't gone phase four where we're like going quantum realm and time mm-hmm. traveling and multiversal yet. So I think they're cognizant of that when they're making these films and that they think, okay, are we really going to have like a Vulture Birdman show up and like
yeah.
do this? Or can we take the leftover scraps
yeah.
from Avengers 1 mm-hmm. and pretend that this guy got a hold of these things and weaponized them? And it just works. It's just mm-hmm. like a clever, like, oh, of course there would be people that like get a hold of these things
yeah.
and do something with them, mm-hmm. with this technology. And it's just, it's the same clever thing that they've done with Tony Stark having like an effect on the greater MCU with his technology.
Yeah.
Like through, I mean, we could go on through a whole podcast just talking about that, but so clever having the Vulture be like essentially Chitauri tech.
And that, so, they frame him in a way that instantly makes you feel for him.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean, like, I don't typically like when they make you feel for the villain.
Oh,
whenever,
I do love
like,
it.
Whenever the villain is like specifically like psychotic.
Sure.
Like, I don't like glorifying that
right.
so much because I just think it makes it too easy for people to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, so see, this works. But
what you're
this one
about
made sense.
Is Carnage in Venom 2.
Yeah, yeah.
A fat miss. It and even so bad.
Even the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movies, like, it's a good film, but like, I just feel like it's too much justification for people to be like,
right,
I'm in the right.
Complexity to the characters, yeah. or at least to be able to understand their viewpoint, whether yeah. I agree with it or not.
But he, Vulture did kind of have, like you're saying, a parallel line to Tony Stark.
Right.
Where just like, he's providing weapons.
Right.
But he's not necessarily using them as far as we know.
Right.
Until, you know, the one where he thought it was the anti-grav gun and it was
yep.
actually vaporized the dude. But like, they're at that very first scene when somebody comes in and they're like, I'm sorry, this is taken over by the Department of Damage Control. You can talk to my boss. And he's like, who's your boss? Tony Stark. And you're like, oh.
Right.
And he was just like, and then that wonderful moment when there's like, maybe the guy comes in, he's like, maybe you shouldn't have overextended yourself.
Right.
And he punches him in the face. And I'm just like, yes,
right.
Do it.
Yeah. It makes you care.
Of course
for
that
him.
Was before we knew he was Vulture.
Sure.
So.
I mean, it, I think it is important to add some humanity to the
yeah.
villains a little
yeah.
bit and like,
and I think
a perspective to see where they're coming from.
And I do think like this guy, we only ever saw him actually kill anybody that one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, his underlings
sure.
did some bad stuff. And sure, he was supplying things and he did threaten to
right.
kill Peter and he tried, spoiler. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like he felt like a good friendly neighborhood Spider-Man villain that did have farther reaching consequences.
Sure. Right. Yeah. It's so well done. I've talked before about how I hate, like, one of my big qualms of the MCU, A, is just like killing off their villains. Spoiler, mm-hmm. they don't kill off their villain here.
Yeah.
And then two,
yeah.
They have to have some world ending threat yeah. in everything. We're going to get to Shang-Chi eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And I have qualms with the ending of that film, as good as it is, and where they had a stopping point
yeah.
and they went beyond it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's definitely not the only offender of that thing, but it's like they don't have to be threatening the entire world. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they nailed that here
yeah.
very grounded, very local, central. It's just fantastic. What did you give your gut ranking for this film?
I gave it a 9.3, which puts it, I think, in second.
Uh-huh.
It was Guardians had a 9.5. And I, oh, actually, what? Okay, it's in third. Civil War is 9.6 for me. Guardians is 9.5. This is a 9.3. And I put it there purely because the gut, like mm-hmm. I was saying, like there were moments in the middle where I felt like it was dragging mm-hmm. a little bit. Not like negatively. It was just like there were a few moments where I found myself looking at my phone for just a second,
right?
Which I don't remember happening in Guardians, so or Civil War. So I that's why I wanted this to be mm-hmm. like tied with Guardians, but I had to be honest. And I was just like, you know, maybe I didn't enjoy this as much as I enjoyed Guardians.
Right.
So yeah, it's sitting third in my gut at 9.3.
I have it sitting first in mine at a 9.75.
Yeah. I think part of me was also thinking, granted, we have the hindsight of knowing where we're going.
Sure.
Is that the right term? We have the hindsight? The forethought?
In hindsight, we know where everything's going.
Yeah. I wanted to give it
right
in that range, 9.7, whatever. But
9.3 is still really good.
But I was just like, yeah, I'm just trying to use my sheet here. And if it hadn't been for that moment, and I can't even remember what it was. It was just like that. And it wasn't that there were weak moments so much. I still gave the plot a 9.
Right.
Which is on the high side of my plot rankings. But there was just a little bit of pacing in the mm-hmm. middle that made me think, okay, maybe it could have been better if we tightened a little bit up. But right. I still love it. Like, it's still fun. Like, I don't think there's a bad casting of a character in the mm-hmm. whole thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm curious to see, we'll talk about casting. So first off, they have kind of a, not quite a rogues gallery of Spidey villains,
mm-hmm.
but like we have Vulture, we have the Shocker,
mm-hmm.
The guy with the thing. We have two versions technically.
Yeah.
We have the Scorpion make a cameo in prison and mm-hmm. out. We have the Prowler in Childish Gambino, aka Donald Glover.
Troy.
And whisperings of a nephew of, said Prowler. We have the Tinkerer?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's two guys that are like,
is he the Tinker, the Inventor? I've never actually known.
There's two guys that are very similar.
I just kept seeing the dude from Severance.
Right, yeah. And he's one of them. There's several just mm-hmm. like, oh, these guys are here. They're kind of connected.
Maybe we'll get payoff in the college years, you know.
Right. And they like, again, they didn't kill off all their villains. They killed a couple of them.
And of course, I wonder if that was would it have been different if this was a MCU proper film versus this is a Sony film?
Right.
And they're like, or not a Marvel films, Marvel Studios versus Sony. And Sony's mm-hmm. like, no, we don't want to kill off our IP.
Right.
So maybe there was part of that.
It might have been a scenario where that worked in their favor because it's these comic book, every comic book does not kill off a big character.
Yeah.
Most comic book events don't kill off a big character.
Yeah.
I mean, not permanently anyway. We know that is, but let's talk about the story a little bit. I handed out two tens in this category.
I don't know if I did give any tens. I gave a lot of, it was just, mine was just high.
Uh-huh.
It was like, you know, you go to a marching contest and a band doesn't get mentioned at all for any of the captions, mm-hmm. but then it ends up getting second
right.
or something because it was just number two and all the things. So like, that's what this one was for me.
Cool. So I handed out a 10 in both character development and continuity.
See, I had a hard time going too much high. My continuity was only a 7 just because I view continuity in like broad strokes, like
mm-hmm.
world altering changes. And this was Queens, you know?
Yeah. I'll do my reasoning and see if it's so. Continuity for me includes what you're talking about, but also revitalizing and refreshing content from another film. So for instance, the Chitauri tech just became so much more important in the context of this villain. Like we're pulling all the way back from phase 1 and all of these items are like now the main villain of that.
That is a good point. So maybe I've undershot it there. I guess, you know, cause what did I, Guardians got a 10 for me because like that just blew up the continuity. And now I have to compare everything against the cosmic level.
I gave Guardians a high score too. It wasn't a 10, but yeah, it was a 9.1. So that's one of them. Then we have what is, again, we talked about this in the Discord. By the way, we usually live tweet, LOL, in the Discord when we're watching these movies, kind of giving some of our thoughts. If you want to join the Discord, you can do that down below in the show notes. One of my favorite all-time threads that they pull on in this movie is Tony going out of his way to like mentor Peter and kind of like ease him into maybe the more responsibilities. And we get this moment where Peter really screws up and he puts a lot of people's life in danger and Tony has to come in at the last second and save the day. Mm-hmm. And Peter didn't trust him. And we get this moment where Peter's like kind of pushing back on him a little bit, saying, you know, this, I was trying to tell you all this was happening. And honestly, if you cared enough at all about this, you'd actually be here. Because earlier on, when he saves Peter again, he just sent one of his suits and was like essentially using it as a walkie-talkie.
He was at a wedding.
Right, he was at a wedding, which just kind of shows how awesome Tony is. And then kind of like, oh, I'm going to go save Spider-Man. So he looks at Tony, or he looks what he thinks is a suit, just a suit, and he goes, if you really cared, you'd actually be here. And the suit opens up and Tony walks out.
Yeah,
I get chills thinking about it right now.
Yeah,
and then they go on, and Tony's scolding him, and he tells him he's going to need the suit back. And Peter says, come on, I need the suit. I'm nothing without the suit. And Tony gives this iconic line, if you're nothing without the suit, then you don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And it's just like it hits all these notes on like their relationship and what he's going through. But we also just spent at the end of phase two watching Tony go through this exact same realization of him panicking because he doesn't have his suits and the trauma and the fallout from Avengers 1. And he learns that he's like Tony Stark is the hero, right? Mm-hmm. Iron Man is a suit and part of his tools, but Tony Stark makes all of that and he realizes that he doesn't need the suit to save the day.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the big motif through that. And to have that pulled on again as not only him recollecting on that moment, but also using as a teaching moment for Peter. Mm-hmm. Just the continuity of bringing that together is super rich for me.
I also love that, I mean, that kind of gave us a look back because if it hadn't been for that, the only blurb we would have seen of the Peter Parker made costume was in the very beginning whenever he puts it on and Happy's like, hey, what's that?
Right.
So I loved that we, you know, Tony took the suit back and we got to see like the original, like this is what he made himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, his, with his just the web slingers and the,
and sweatpants,
the
goggles,
the goggles that like make it to where he can focus.
Yeah.
You know,
Another continuity thing, the whole intro is just like a throwback to the perspective of him through Civil War,
a film by Peter Parker.
Right. Yeah. So fantastic. There's just, for that reason, there's several others I can probably think of, but it was just really strong, not in the way of world building, but in the way of kind of tying some strings together and just reinforcing and breathing new life into some other moments.
I gave the edit a 9, which was the highest of this category for me, just because I thought, I kept thinking about what is it about this film that I like so much? And it was just the way it was put together.
Right.
Like, you know, we open on Vulture with his thing and it's like big budget cinema stuff. And then we get, you know, a film by Peter Parker and it's just all cell phone footage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it goes to other things and it's just getting to see a couple of the shots and stuff with him doing some of the iconic moves, Spider-Man moves, landing up on, you know, roofs and stuff like that. I don't know. I thought that was a really strong section.
Yeah, the video section was mostly high for me, a lot of low 8s and a couple 9s. I did, however, hand out my lowest score in this, which was the set design.
Yeah,
gave it a 7, just some school rooms outside in New York, nothing to write home about.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing might have been the ferry, like getting to see that thing get deconstructed maybe, but still.
Yeah, it was cool, but it definitely didn't like do anything to write home about. So, I'm curious about your music score on this one.
Yeah, it was all right.
I was like, friendly to it,
yeah,
but not. It was definitely not one of the strongest things about it.
Right at the very end, I realized that the theme is taken from Spider-Man, Spider-Man, yeah. Like the bomb, but da, like that was in there. Right. And it wasn't until like the very final thing, but I don't know. The music didn't get in the way, but I didn't. I mean, there were a few times whenever we used like existing music that I thought was really effective, but I don't know. I didn't think the music, it wasn't bad. It wasn't super memorable for me. So I gave it a 7.75, which is still higher than a lot of the MCU so far.
Yeah. I did, however, give the sound effects and the sound design a pretty high score at a 9.3.
I tried to run my surround sound out, and I think my machine's just broken because like it felt like
the
phasing
so
was messed up.
Yeah.
My stereo speakers made it sound like everybody was talking into a tin can.
Oh,
so I just gave up, and I did my best to listen in a 2D plane. But I'm sure it was good. Yeah,
it was. There was a lot of stuff in the surrounds, thwips going past your ears. In the bank heist scene, the ATM scene, when that laser shoots off and goes in a circle, it rips around the room. There's a lot of cool sonic things going on.
Yeah.
I also was quite gracious in the general effects score, giving everything was at least a 9.
Okay.
With the 9.5 on the fan service, post-credit scenes and stuff. There were several things that they kind of winked at from older comics. The iconic Get Up Peter, where he's under the rubble, and like that's like straight out of the comic books. It's just a strong general effect movie. I think that's kind of speaks to the strength of the film across the board. The action, the fight, the choreography stuff.
Mine were in the eights and nines and sevens. Just because I don't know, I gave the action only a 7.5 because I keep comparing it to Winter Soldier.
Right.
And there was one specific moment.
I gave it 10 to Winter Soldier. So.
Yeah, there was one specific moment where I was just like, "Whoa, that was really nice."
Yeah.
But it was just one, and so that's probably maybe harsh on my point, but
maybe
like
not.
I felt like the most of the fighting was CGI.
Sure.
So that's why I didn't give that.
Yeah.
And for comedy, I gave that a 9 just because 9 is like super good.
It was really funny.
It's just
it a 9.6.
Yeah. Like I just felt like. It wasn't Guardians or Guardians 2 funny. It was really good. It was. Yeah. I think I gave it. Where's Ant-Man? Okay, it beat out Ant-Man for comedy.
Really
Ant-Man got a 10. I was looking at fan service. Never mind.
Okay.
So it was good, and there were a lot of funny moments. I just thought some of the others did it better.
Some of the action also was not just the fighting for me, but the entire Washington Tower scene.
Yeah, it was intense.
Was really cool and well done. And then, like, the thing about that is, like, laced inside that are these, like, really cool character development moments, like, of him just coming to the terms with, like, oh, man, I haven't been up this high before.
Yeah.
You know, that's the inner monologue that, like, serves the character of Spider-Man, or not even inner, the dialogue of him just talking through things.
That was
filtered through the suit.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like he's just constantly talking to himself, but it works from the context of the history of the character in the comics.
Yeah, I just love the playfulness of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's why, I don't know, I guess we've made it to the point where we have our final score.
Yes.
What was your final score and where did that put it?
So it's at a 91.9.
That's high.
And it puts it at first place overall in all of my movies right now.
Nice. Mine... ended up as an 84.03, which currently puts it in third.
Wow. So you have Guardians and
Civil War ahead of it.
Civil War is 0.04 of a point behind this. It's very close for me.
Where's Civil War for me? Oh, see, Civil War is sitting at 87. So there's like 3 points. I don't know. Like I said, I think I was just a jerk to this film because I remember it being so good. I wanted it to be the perfect film.
Right.
And I think I was harsh. It's kind of like there was this one whenever I was a band director and I'd be judging all region. Every now and like there was this one student of mine who came in and said something.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know better than that. Mm-hmm. And I just like. I ripped into him in the score sheet because I was just like,
negative points.
I told you so many times you need to be quiet when you come to this film. And he's just like, okay. And I recognized his voice. And I was just like, he still made all regions. So there's that. But I mean, I wanted this to be the perfect film, and sure. I think I torpedoed a little bit. It should have at
least
been.
I mean, it's still in your top three.
It's
right
still
now.
In top three.
We'll
for
see
now.
How it fares with the next yeah. five movies.
And that's also, I mean, Civil War ended up. It was just good. I was comparing it. Like I didn't. I don't know. It every one we get in makes it harder for me yeah. to think. Is this better than this? Is this better than this? I just mm-hmm. kind of have to go. But I mean, my gut ranking was third, and its final placement was third mm-hmm. as of now. So
I think mine matched something. As well, one for one. Yeah. We'll see. I know it's not going to stay there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm trying to. I know it'll be. I predict by the end of what we have so far. Let's see. How many weeks do we have? Probably 3 months, mm-hmm. maybe more before we'll get to the end of this. And by that time, we'll have added Ant-Man. I predict this will still be in the top six by the time we get up there for me. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Yeah. There's five incredible films coming right up.
Yeah.
We have Thor Ragnarok next. I mean, wow. Good Lord.
Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, then Infinity War.
Oof.
Wow.
Those yeah. right there. I mean, it's just like, okay, well, everybody scoot down the row.
Let's just watch tonight, you know?
Yeah, right. We've got some good films coming up. Any closing thoughts on it? I mean, it's like an incredible MCU film.
Like
an incredible
I keep saying.
Entry.
I feel like I did it a disservice. Like this is one of those where I might just have to make a note next to it. Like should have been higher. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You know, I'm trying to be consistent with myself, and that's all I can say.
Yeah, same. So, I'm doing this. I'm just like thinking, what did I give these other scores, and how did I feel about it mm-hmm. in comparison to those? And that's where I've ended up. We've still got some room. Mm-hmm. My highest film is in low 90s right now. So
yeah.
Prepared to hand out a whole bunch of tens when we get to some other stuff.
Yeah, I've only got
soon.
One that's in the 90s.
Yeah.
And everything else is 80s.
Leaving 70s. Yourself some room.
Yeah, trying.
But I'm trying to also, it's so difficult to like this film that we just watched is better for sure than the majority of phase four that we just finished.
Yeah.
So I don't have to leave too much room, I don't think.
Yeah.
But some room, you know, some room. And eventually we'll start this all over again and see what we were smoking whenever we did this the first yeah. time.
Yeah.
Cool. So it's first for me at a 91.9 and third for you at a what? 87?
84.
84?
Yeah.
Just flat?
84.03.
Okay, cool. Awesome. If you guys would like to join us in this ranking system, we're like halfway done, but it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. You can go at your own pace to get caught up and mm-hmm. even jump in now where we're at. And start adding the scores. I know several of you are already doing this. It's been cool to see what some of our two-man fans have put on their scores. And eventually, once we're all said and done, we're going to average all the scores together mm-hmm. and put them in their own spreadsheet. So we'll have mine and Drew's scores averaged together and then ours with everybody else to get like a two-man average for the MCU and where everybody thinks they should be ranked.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty wild when yeah. it's all said and done to see how the averaging starts to move some films around. There'll probably be some upsets.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and do some DCU chat. We will be right back. And we're back and we have some exciting stuff to talk about. James Gunn and Peter Safran, as many of you know, if you've been listening or been following the comic world or the comic film world, just took over as co-CEO and chairman for DCU, not the DCEU anymore, where they are going to be heading up being the quote-unquote Kevin Feige for the DC films moving forward. And they are rebooting everything.
Mm-hmm.
Asterisk.
Yes.
They finally came out and were like, hey, here's what we're doing. And they've had about 2 months to like sit in a room and just get some ideas, get some stuff together. And the list is quite exciting. I am going to Google that list real quick just to make sure. We'll go take a quick gurgle break.
Yes. So this gurgle break is sponsored by Backlog Busters, the YouTube channel of a good friend of ours, Jared. He goes through and posts videos every other week, every other Monday, where he is looking up old video games that he may have missed when he was a kid. And he's replaying them now in 2022/2023 to see if they're still worth playing. We got a link to that down in our show notes, so definitely go check that out. I can say I've watched all of the videos he currently has out, and it's made me want to go check a few of them out myself.
It is actually great. He goes through, I mean, there's so many channels covering like just the popular video games of the day. So he's a little bit saturated. He's truly doing stuff that very few others, to my knowledge, are covering.
Yeah.
And like, I've even found a few nuggets that I'm actually interested in. I mentioned in the last episode, he showed me this game. Well, his video showed this game called Unpacking.
Mm-hmm.
It's Unpacked or Unpacking. I can never remember.
Unpacking.
But it's like, it sounds like this silly game where you're just unpacking things. If you like life simulators or Animal Crossing or Sims, my wife fell in love with this game, and I would have never known about it without Jared. But he also does he did The Hobbit recently. He did Ape Escape, which I had no idea was like this awesome series that came out, and kind of inventive as far as Jared goes through the history of the game mechanics and how the controls were kind of ahead of its time. Super cool YouTube channel. You should absolutely check it out.
Yeah, I mean, he's open to recommendations. So go check out his channel and give him a subscribe and tell him Two Man sent you.
Yes, yes, do that. Cool. I pulled this up. I've got the official link to the DC next iteration of films. Mm-hmm. If I remember, I'll have Drew put this in the show notes. I'm going to send this over to you right now. What did you think of these initial things? So I'm going to go down the list, actually, and then read all these to you. And then we're just going to kind of react to them as we go. So they're starting over. They're doing this first thing is they're doing chapters instead of phases. So this chapter one, I believe, is called Heroes and Monsters.
Those Gods and Monsters.
Gods and Monsters. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah, I see it right there. And we're starting with all things with an animated thing called Creature Commando, which some of these look familiar if you've seen the Suicide Squad.
And there were some of these were tie-ins that I read about in the Flashpoint tie-ins.
Ah, yes, like cool.
Frankenstein's monster and stuff.
So one unique aspect of this is that they're going to be both animated and real-life actors doing these, but they'll play the same character no matter what. So one of the actors we know for sure is coming back is John Cena playing Peacemaker. If he shows up in an animated thing, Peacemaker, he will be voiced by John Cena and the inverse of that. So there'll be characters that have been cast originally in the animated stuff that show up in the live action. So cool thing enough. I don't know much about Creature Commandos.
Yeah, all I read it with any of these people were whenever I was reading the Flashpoint series. And so I don't know a lot. They went back in time and they were fighting Nazis and stuff, I think. So.
Yeah, it looks like a little bit of a Suicide Squad B team, maybe.
But with monsters.
With monsters, sorts of things like that. One that many of you will be familiar with, there's going to be a live-action HBO Max series called Waller, where the actress for that, is it Viola Davis?
I think so.
Yeah, it's right there. Is coming back to play Amanda Waller, the leader of the Suicide Squad, who kind of puts that team and puts things in motion. We'll see her kind of interacting. She's kind of a Nick Fury-esque character a little bit of a darker take on that trope, I guess, though. Then the big one. So this is, I'll preface all this to say that they're doing all of this while there are still DCEU films coming out.
Yeah.
So we still have Shazam 2. We have Aquaman 2.
Yep.
We have The Flash,
yep,
which is going to be apparently kind of a reset thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one other thing that I'm not thinking of that is also going to lead.
The Batman and Joker?
No, those are going to be considered Elseworlds things that come out after a lot of this stuff has already started. There's one other thing that I'm drawing a blank on. Maybe I'll think of it in a minute.
There was a mention of Blue Beetle.
That's it.
Okay.
Blue Beetle's coming out. So James Gunn did a live talking about this and was saying that he couldn't have been luckier with the remaining films and how they're going to jump him into the new DCU that they're doing.
So, yeah,
I don't know how that's going to work with the continuity of things.
I'm just wondering, because all this talk, the use of Amanda Waller and Peacemaker and stuff, I said a couple episodes ago, if he blows everything up but keeps all of his toys,
right,
that's kind of heavy handed. But maybe we're going to get wrap-ups from Waller.
Sure.
Wrap-ups from Peacemaker season 2, to where everything is pointing. And by the time we get to Superman : Legacy, maybe, which I'm super pumped about because if you've been listening long enough, you know Superman's my favorite, has been forever. maybe by that point, all the DCEU stuff has been wrapped up or bundled into its own Elseworlds label.
Right. So that's a cool thing they're doing, is that they are acknowledging the Elseworlds projects and just going to be like, hey, Robert Pattinson, Batman with director Matt Reeves, that's going to still happen. They're making that one. It's in production right now, or it's in pre-production. That's just going to continue to exist. If it still does well, they'll make another one, I'm sure. And it's just going to be an Elseworlds story. It is not in the main DC continuity.
In case we've said that a few times, if you don't know what Elseworlds mean, it's like DC, whenever they post annuals every year, sometimes they are Elseworlds labels, where it's just like, I've got a couple Elseworlds where Batman was a pirate back in pirate times, or the League of the Supermen, where there's this like 10-person team that all each have one of Superman's powers and they work together to be the Superman.
Cool.
So it's just like they're, it's just multiverse, different layers of the multiverse.
The Joker part do will also fall into the category of Elseworlds. Now, does that mean they can't do some multiversal something and bring them in for whatever reason? Sure they can, but from what it sounds like, they're going to do this right. They're going to slow burn this and maybe one day we'll have some crazy thing. Now, my immediate mind, all the critiques that Drew just had are absolutely valid, and I have the same ones. My only guess is that maybe somehow Flashpoint
is gonna at a point that resets.
At a reset point that somehow slots in certain things that make sense in the continuity of the story.
Because, I'm just curious, and I don't know if it's actually come out, for real, what the end-all, be-all timeline is. Because that's what I think it really comes down to. If we're getting Waller and Peacemaker and stuff like that, and it keeps happening after we've been going,
right, with Superman Legacy, that happened before,
then I'm just like, okay, well, but at the same time, we have one, at least the buck stops here with James Gunn. So maybe even if it doesn't make sense to me right now, I'm still going to go see all of them.
Sure.
And I'm going to watch all of them, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, assuming that by the time we get done with this, it's all going to be awesome.
Yeah. Drew mentioned it already, but Superman Legacy is the first big film that is coming out, and it is being written
with a young,
and I think now confirmed directed by James Gunn.
Okay, cool. And it's supposed to be a younger Superman.
Yes, so we're not getting an origin story.
Because we've heard, so Aquaman's supposed to be in, but for all we know, that's before Flashpoint, or whatever the reset.
Right.
Same thing with Peacemaker before the reset, Waller before the reset, maybe Gal Gadot before, who knows? I don't know.
Right.
But it could also be this, we talked about this, Jennifer Waller, I know we just talked about Superman, but I wanted to mention this. Jennifer Waller could end up being more like the J. Jonah Jameson.
Sure.
How we have the same one from the Raimiverse as we do in the MCU, and it could just be like the multiverse echoes, the multiverse rhymes sometimes.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll just have to see how that.
I think it's the same thing with Charlie Cox Daredevil.
Yeah, yeah.
Feels different. They're banking on us having seen that show, but I think when it comes down to it, it is a different.
In an infinite multiverse, there are inevitably going to be people that are the same.
Right.
That
where the only thing different is this one thing.
So maybe the hair is a little bit lighter in this multiverse, and that's literally the only difference. And there's no reason to not cast somebody that was perfect for it because of that. So I don't know. I just want to see what the story is, because, you know, is Jason Momoa going to just be Lobo? Is he going to be Aquaman also?
We don't know.
There's just a lot of questions. So anyway.
So in this Superman stuff, there's some of the drama. We've confirmed for sure that Henry Cavill is not going to play the Man of Steel.
Which makes sense if we're going with a younger Superman who's developing his identity.
Yes, but we'll probably frustrate people who just saw, spoilers, Black Adam in that post-credits scene.
I was pumped when I saw that.
Yeah, so that, as far as we know, is not happening. Black Adam 2 is probably not happening.
But, and I know it's kind of weird, because all of these conversations, I can just point back and be like, well, you know, it happened like this in the Arrowverse, because there's been a decade of Arrowverse stuff that has done all of these things on a small budget on the CW. I had a thought the other day, which I'm sure a billion other people have had. just like they took Brandon Routh to be the Kingdom Come type version of Superman in Crisis on Infinite Earths,
right.
Why can't we do that with Henry Cavill and see him as an older man with a gray streak, and the world will go ballistic and think like, this was genius. Why did nobody, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. And not even be aware of the fact that it already happened with Brandon Routh in the Arrowverse. But I'd be there for it.
Yeah, I mean, as big of a comic fan as I am, I only know that that happened because you watched it.
Yeah.
You know, and there, I think there's a lot of people that like comics, like the MCU, have no idea the Arrowverse exists.
Yeah, they're like, CW? What is that? Mm-hmm. And I understand that. There's a lot of crappy episodes of the Arrowverse, but I put the time in and it was all worth it. So anyway, so I'm excited for Superman because I'm always a sucker for Superman.
Looks like they're going to be doing maybe some Grant Morrison inspiration from this. That's one thing people are excited about. James Gunn has been very active on social media showing the content that he is reading to get some sort of inspiration from.
Sorry for the trash in the background.
Is going to be pulling from, maybe not verbatim, but inspiration.
Yeah. Which, if he's pulled, is that like All-Star Superman?
Yes.
If I've got mixed feelings about that one.
Well, it could be. So to preface what you're saying, apparently heavily sourced material for WandaVision was House of M.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite different.
And they still went to, like, I think, I can't remember if we talked about it in the show or if that was just me and Alex talking, but the ending of All-Star Superman, I don't want that to happen because, spoiler alert, that basically means we lose Superman from the canon for a while.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. But
right. And maybe it's like a trilogy. They split it up and we do lose him for a while.
It could also be a beautiful way of showing just how great he is for what he's willing to do for humanity. Like I said, that's a great story. I dig it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, there have not been a casting yet. The only thing we know is Grant Morrison, possible source material. James Gunn has already started the script and is all but confirmed by Peter Safran, the other man in the chair, to be directing, which will be a very interesting thing. These, by the way, we're going to keep going. We spent a lot of time on Superman. These are on this list in a certain order, but it does not mean they are the actual release order. The next one, though, is maybe the one that I am most excited about. They are doing a Lanterns HBO Max show that is being described as True Detective meets Green Lanterns, and it's going to have Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart, two of the most iconic Green Lanterns, going through and solving mysteries on Earth, like in the precinct Earth, as essentially super cops, and whatever happens in there is going to greatly affect the greater DCU. That's so excited for this one. My friend Chris, our friend Chris, is also a huge Green Lantern fan. The fact that we're just jumping into having Hal and John, so awesome. It looks like, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you do or don't know, I think this is like the Darkest Night
I'm not familiar with that Green Lantern
story.
So,
Chris would know. Chris, if you're listening to this, let us know in the Discord. Very excited. Just the idea of superhero True Detective. I don't know if you've seen any of that.
Yeah.
Very cool premise to kind of filter a show through. And I love the idea of genre pieces with inside the superhero genre itself. Lots of creative storytelling to be had there. Moving on, and this was a surprise to many, The Authority is getting a live action movie. Drew?
This was one of the first things I read when I got DC Universe.
Uh-huh.
I read it a long time ago. And honestly, I can't remember what happened in it. But it's just like a gritty, darker take on the Justice League, kind of.
Yes. It's like they are willing to do anything to keep it. It's kind of like Peacemaker's thing, right? Like he'll kill people for peace.
And it was on a different Earth, a different world entirely. There has been a recent DC and like Superman and the Authority comic series or something like that where they were brought in. I haven't read any of that, unfortunately, so I can't tell anything. But I'm excited to check it out. We'll just have to see.
Next up, Paradise Lost. This looks like another very appealing one. Mm-hmm. This is dealing with, it's a Game of Thrones type story about Themyscira in Paradise Island where the Amazonians are. And this is going to predate Wonder Woman, Diana, being in existence. So I imagine dealing with like the politics of like a full society of only women, you know, what is that like? And obviously Game of Thrones was very popular. Putting a superhero flair on top of that could also be very cool.
Yeah.
Very excited to check that one out. Here's the next one that's probably getting the most buzz. A movie called The Brave and the Bold is going to introduce this universe's Batman and Robin.
Nice.
By his son,
Damian.
Damian Wayne, yeah. Which is the latest iteration of Robin.
That's like the grandson of Ra's al Ghul, right?
Yes. It's Bruce Wayne and Talia al Ghul's son. He has
actual powers.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Right. So it'll be very interesting to see this. They have not cast a Batman. It is not Robert Pattinson. It is not Ben Affleck, though Ben Affleck has been rumored to be directing something for them. We don't know what it will be. It'd be very cool if it ended up being a Batman project like it was going to be for this current DCEU.
So that is one thing that's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Unless all these things that are going to be released are just all over the timeline.
Right.
Like, it's unlike the MCU where it was 2008, mm-hmm. and then it was 2009. And then, we're jumping back to old times, Themyscira.
A little bit with Captain America going back to World War II.
But I'm just wondering, because we're starting with a younger Superman. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have a Batman that has been around long enough that he already has a kid.
Yep.
So I'm just curious about the actual breakdown, what year is it? With
from and then one how to do the next. They tie in everything from the what is it? The Paradise Lost.
Yeah.
If that really takes place that far ago, is it gonna be the final season episode is gonna Diana's born and then we flash forward or something?
I don't know. But yeah, that's cool though. I'm excited. And that's this next one, Booster Gold live action HBO Max series. I'm pumped about that because Booster is he's one of those, anytime he pops up in a comic, I'm all for it. By the way, little Easter egg. There's a burp. if you happened to jump on the Discord and you saw the cover of the comic book that I drew for Alex for his birthday or for Christmas, with our superhero, mundane superhero counterparts, Captain 166 and Nostradamus, I basically traced a cover of Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, a comic called Blue and Gold. I think you were probably Booster and I was
Blue Beetle,
I think. I can't remember. So anyway, you're practically Booster Gold.
I feel it in my loins. This is a hero that if you don't know about it, Booster Gold is in the future originally, this character, and he's a loser.
Yeah.
And he decides to take what at the time in his future is very accessible technology, travel back in time to become a superhero.
Yep.
And does that with varying success and maybe still kind of is learning the meaning of what that means.
He's a screw up sometimes.
Yep.
But
very cool. I'm excited for this one as well.
Little caveat. I know that they're probably not going to be tipping the hat much to the Arrowverse, but one of my biggest angers about the Arrowverse coming to an end is the last episode of Legends of Tomorrow gave us Booster Gold, played by Donald Faison, Turk from Scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to see that. That's what the next season was supposed to be. It was going to be Booster Gold and the Legends.
That's
cool.
And
it got canceled.
Yeah.
So
I've been wondering who I would like to play this. I don't want this. I'm going to preface to say that. But I would watch in a self-contained bubble that I could throw away when I was done with it, Chris Pratt playing Booster Gold. I feel like it would work.
Yeah.
But I don't want that.
Good. Yeah.
I don't want it, but I would watch it.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we have.
One thing.
Yep.
I could see John Hamm doing it.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Hamm would work.
Yeah.
Here's something that very much excited me. They're doing a Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow movie. Yes, this is a movie. For those that don't know, Tom King is my favorite comic book writer of all time. He just constantly puts out stuff that I am in love with. He's responsible for the Human Target that I've been reading, the Miracle Men stuff, the Vision series that we covered on Marvel. There's just, he rarely misses. And he is not only getting his Supergirl story adapted for a film, he is one of the lead writers that James Gunn is consulting for the DCU proper.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a constant figurehead churning out these stories. And as soon as I heard that, my expectation for the DCU through the roof. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on bringing in somebody with that the writing chops that he has in the comic world, and how will it translate to the films?
I'll allow it.
That's his thoughts.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
The Supergirl series, I've read most of it. I think we'll probably cover it.
I'm ashamed to say I haven't read any of it. So are we due for a DC?
We're due for some DC soon. So.
Have we covered Supergirl yet? Only the seatbelt special.
A thing that episode nobody
zero.
Knows about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be a thing coming up. And then lastly on this list that was announced is a Swamp Thing live action movie.
By the way, the DC Universe Swamp Thing show that came out a long time ago, it was better. It got canceled like before they'd even released all of the episodes.
It was like two episodes in and they canceled
it. Was good. They were setting up all kinds of other tie-ins, like I think Blue Devil and stuff like that.
Really?
And yeah, it was going to be exciting. I enjoyed it, but I am excited for this movie because Swamp Thing is one of those guys where, like, whenever you start reading about it, you realize just how much power, like, controlled, mm-hmm. the green, tapped into the green. Like,
right.
I want to see Swamp Thing done right.
Yeah, I'm curious about this. I don't have a lot of history with the character, but for some reason, so this has already been said that it's going to be like a horror film.
Makes
again,
sense.
Leaning into the genre pieces, love mm-hmm. that. I don't know why. I have not read anything to indicate this, but this feels to me like this will be like their Incredible Hulk in the DCU, like their Swamp okay. Thing, like a staple character that can come in and out of other characters' projects
yeah.
And be crucial. But except this one's actually going to get his own film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I feel that, but for some reason that just pops in my mind every time I think about it. And that was everything that was announced.
Nice.
So just to recap, we have animated Creature Commandos on HBO Max, the Waller live action series on HBO Max, Superman Legacy live action film, Lanterns HBO Max series in the style of True Detective, The Authority live action movie, Paradise Lost HBO Max series with Themyscira and Paradise Lost and the Amazonians, The Brave and the Bold film with Batman and Damian Wayne as Robin, Booster Gold HBO Max series, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow live action film, and then Swamp Thing live action film.
Yes,
all
give
in
it
the
to
first
me tomorrow.
Chapter.
Yeah.
Also, they said this is not everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a few things they're still ironing out the details. Likely there will be some stuff to fluff out
mm-hmm.
the margins of chapter one, Gods and Monsters.
So who? Okay. We got the Trinity called for Superman, Batman, and then setting up Wonder Woman.
Yep.
I guess we will have had Flash recently.
Sure.
So that's fine. And we got, multiple Batmans. Is there anything that any DC characters that come to mind for you that you're like, why didn't we get something for them yet that you hope comes next?
Yes. A couple things. I'm surprised that, ignoring the fact that we had something like this recently, I'm surprised we don't have a Titans thing.
Yeah.
Knowing that Tom King is involved, I feel like it is a matter of time before we get Mr. Miracle.
Yeah, Gods and Monsters.
Gods and Monsters, right? So, like, yeah. All of the people from that series. Also, James Gunn has basically shown a TV or movie equivalent for the bulk of the comics he's been teasing on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
One of them had Mr. Terrific on it.
Okay.
Which yeah. I would be here for, especially because that would tie into his The Adventures of Steve. What is it? The one I was reading, The Weird... Strange Adventures.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Mr. Terrific was in that, a key mm-hmm. part of it. Would love to see that as well, and it would absolutely adapt. It's kind of like a murder
mm-hmm.
taking place, two different time perspectives being told at the same time. Those are the main ones. I mean, we got the Lanterns. We still don't have John, right? Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Pretty big character. Who else? Anybody come to mind for you that's like, oh, that's a big Justice League character that we don't have yet?
I mean, they've got most of the Justice League covered, whether it's from before Superman or yeah. after. I mean, we don't have Cyborg. We don't have, it kind of depends on which incarnation you're talking about.
I should say that they've made it very clear that the Batman film is going to be like a Bat family film.
Okay.
So we're going to get Barbara Gordon and Cassandra Cain and several other Bat figures, maybe a Nightwing. So maybe there's room to spin out of these things. Mm-hmm. There's another one I was just at the top of my head thinking about. I'm drawing a blank. I'll probably have to come back to it. But I'm optimistic. Mm-hmm. I mean, DCU or the DCEU has had, I don't know, three films that were like, I think, objectively good and lots of very controversial takes on everything else. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like they're finally going to have like Peter Safran and James Gunn running point, filtering everything through this, not just, hey, we want to make this. Can we do it? And somebody says yes. I am curious. I feel like Black Adam, had it not included that scene, could have existed in this world because all of the Justice Society were new takes on characters.
Yeah.
With the only caveat being like Dr. Fate, you know, Pierce Brosnan's not exactly a young buck.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're trying to like set up like, hey, this is the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that we're casting appropriately. Yeah. I'm very curious to see where this goes. I am excited though. It's a bright future for DCU. Hopefully they knock it out of the park.
They better,
or I will scream. Cool. Yeah. Any closing thoughts?
Join our Discord. Check things out. Don't forget to check out Backlog Busters, the YouTube channel of our friend. You can find us at Two Man Comic Book on Twitter, Two Man Comic Book Club elsewhere with the number 2. Alex, where can they find you?
At Alex Wayne Miller on all social media platforms. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman.
Which Batman are you? Are you the Pattinson or the new one?
I'm actually one we haven't seen. It's the Thomas Wayne Elseworlds.
Okay.
Batman where Bruce dies and Joe Chill. And I got crazy and I just became Batman.
You can find ways to reach out to me through www.drewmorrismusic.com.
Cool. We'll talk to you next time, guys. It's a lot of fun. Join the Discord. Do the Alex and Drew Rank the MCU spreadsheet with us. All those links in the sheets, including the list of the DCU thing that we just talked about. We will see you next time.
I hit the button.
Oh, he hit the button. And we will see you next time. Bye. Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.